WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The sitcom Ellen starts its new season tonight. My guest is the star of the show, Ellen DeGeneres. She plays a bookstore owner named Ellen, who's in her 30s, single, with the requisite number of neurotic and annoying friends. Here's a scene with her best friend, Paige. Ellen is all packed for the getaway ski trip they've planned, but Paige walks in the door, throws all the winter clothes out of Ellen's valise, and lets Ellen know the travel plans are changed.
I'm helping you pack. We're going to the Golden Valley Center for Health and Relaxation.
Going to an old age home?
It's a spa, the most exclusive spa in California. You need to book a year in advance. My boss had reservations, and he's not going, so we get him.
Where's your boss going?
Skiing. Come on, it'll be great. I mean, you said yourself that you wanted to start exercising more and eating right.
That's just something I say when I'm on hold for Domino's.
Come on, all the big stars go there. Michelle Pfeiffer and Bridget Fonda love it. We'll come out looking like them.
Paige, they went in looking like them.
Come on, we'll get massages and skin treatments. They'll pamper us. They will cater to our every whim.
Well, I do like my whims catered. My last whim was a buffet style, which wasn't bad, but I prefer a sit-down whim. It's just somehow classier.
Come on, let's go.
This is one of those situations where I fight and fight and you still get your way?
Of course.
All right. But you're driving.
No, you have to drive.
Okay.
Like so many hit sitcoms, Ellen is built around an actor who started off as a stand-up comic. And like several comics turned actors, she has a book. It's called Ellen, My Point, and I Do Have One. And last weekend, it was number one on the Sunday Times bestseller list. Ellen DeGeneres told me how she started her career as a stand-up comic.
The first time was in New Orleans, and it was probably 81. Something like 1981 in New Orleans for a benefit, some people trying to raise some money for some legal function. I don't know what it was. And they didn't have any access to talent or anything. And they just were just putting stuff on stage. Someone had a band and someone else probably made balloon animals. I don't even remember at this point. And they asked me to get up on stage because I had always been funny around them. And they thought, well, just get up on stage and be funny. And at this time, I guess Steve Martin was doing comedy, and you know, there was comedy, but it wasn't nearly like it was in the last 10 years. And I didn't know what to do. I got on stage, and I ate. This is when I was eating red meat. I ate a Whopper, fries, and a shake. And I basically said that I didn't have time to eat all day because I was so nervous because this was my first time on stage. So if you don't mind, I just need to eat really quickly. And I tried to get a sentence out. You know how people start when you're like having lunch with them and they start to tell you something and then they take a huge bite and then they hold their finger up like you just 1 second while they swallow. And it's like, why did you even start the sentence if you're going to take a bite? And then they start the sentence again and then they take a sip or they take another. And so I did that on stage for as long as it took me to eat a Whopper, fries, and a shake. And I didn't say anything the whole time. And then I looked at my watch and said, my time's up. Thank you. Good night. And that was what I did on stage the first time.
How'd it go over?
It was, I don't remember. I mean, I just
You're too
of,
busy eating.
I ate the whole time. I don't know. It was good enough that someone who booked a college in New Orleans saw me and asked if I would go on stage and do something there. And I decided I should stop eating because this really would not be a good career to eat on stage all the time. And unless you're like just performing once a month. So I started writing material, and I'm sure some of it was really, really bad. But at the time, it was, you know, just like bell bottoms were popular at one time. Maybe the material will come back again. Bell bottoms have. So, I just kept writing material, and it just kind of fell into my lap.
What kind of material were you writing early on?
It was bad. There was just really bad. Well, one of the first things I ever wrote was The Phone Call to God, and that was the piece that got me on The Tonight Show, and Johnny Carson asked me to sit down on the couch, and I was the first and only woman that's ever been invited on the first appearance. So the piece that I wrote early in my career turned out to be, you know, something that—and I knew when I wrote it that it was going to get me there.
For our listeners who haven't heard it, could you tell us something about it?
The Phone Call to God is actually I wrote this out of a very depressing time in my life. My best friend at the time and someone I was living with was killed in a car accident. And I happened to be driving home that night, and I saw the accident, but she was in another car, so I didn't know it was her. And stopped and looked at the accident and went, oh, my God, because it had just happened. There weren't even, the fire engine was just getting their ambulances. And I looked at it, and I just was like, oh, God, that's horrible. And then found out the next morning that it was her. And she was beautiful and talented and had dreams and hopes and was 23 years old. And I was 21 years old, and I thought, I was living at the time. We were splitting a place that I couldn't afford anymore on my own, so I moved into this horrible basement apartment in New Orleans. It was freezing in the winter and hot in the summer, and there were fleas everywhere. And I just started thinking about why she was gone. I thought, how can someone so beautiful and such an addition to this world be taken away at 23 years old, and there are fleas here. I just didn't understand it. So I started writing what it would be like to call God and ask God a question like this. And so it was a one-sided conversation of me, and I get put on hold, first of all, and I listen to Muzak, which is Onward Christian Soldiers, and just he makes fun of my name and or she, depending on how you take it. And it's just this whole one side conversation about asking why fleas are here. And it's basically the point of it is not the end of it, which is that there are so many people employed by the flea collar industry. That's the answer that I get. But that's not really what the point of the conversation is. It's just kind of what it would be like to call God. So that's what I wrote, and I wrote it in like 10 minutes. And I read that, and I thought, I'm doing this on Johnny Carson one day. I know I'm going to do this. I mean, this horrible apartment, I'm sitting on the floor thinking I'm going to do this on Johnny Carson. And when it actually happened, and when Johnny Carson called me to sit down and loved the piece, it was just, it was surreal.
My guest is Ellen DeGeneres, star of the sitcom Ellen, and author of the new book, Ellen, My Point, and I Do Have One. We're after a break. This is Fresh Air. Ellen DeGeneres is my guest, star of the TV series Ellen. She now has a new book called Ellen DeGeneres, My Point, and I Do Have One. What was the circuit that you played early on?
Clubs or restaurants sometimes. Comedy got to be, it replaced the mechanical bull. So, it was like whatever was going to make somebody money, they put it in wherever you could fit it. I mean, I really thought that at some point Macy's was going to have like a little section where you could just go watch comedy before you buy shoes. Wherever you can make money, people will do it. So here are these guys that have no idea what comedy is, what art is. They have a pizza parlor and they decide, we'll get a couple of comedians in here and we'll fill the place on Tuesday night. And usually it's not filled on Tuesday night. So, and maybe cheese pizza will be, $2. And so I was playing some horrible, I played places that, now I talk about my book, that I actually showed up. We drove from, it was like some guy, I didn't even know who he was. We were just kind of assigned to work together. And we drove to this place, and in front of the restaurant, there's like a chalkboard on the sidewalk, and it says, soup of the day, whatever it was, cream of asparagus, and Ellen DeGeneres. That was, and like, so soup of the day had top billing. I mean, I didn't even rank above the soup. And so people had to really want that soup in order to come in. And then if they wanted to see me, they got to see me as well. And it was like this long, narrow, I think the stage was maybe like a couple of cases of beer with a piece of plywood on top. And I had, some kind of horrible microphone that kept feeding back the whole, ooh, every other word you couldn't hear. It was horrible.
Now, I think your brother's in show business too, right?
Yeah, he's a writer and producer.
Now, I think your brother had a band when you were growing up?
He was in a band called The Cold in New Orleans, and they were huge. They were tremendous. I was always Vance DeGeneres' sister. That's what I was known as.
Did you envy him because he got to perform?
Yes. I thought, God, everybody knows who he is, and he's just so cool, and he was like the heartthrob of the band. They always called him the sex symbol. He was just, my brother is just very, very good-looking and talented, and you know, being on stage anyway, being in a band. You know, so it was really, I thought, God, I wish I could sing. I wish I could. And for a while, I thought I could sing, and I thought about becoming a singer. And, you know, because there are a lot of people out there that are singing and they can't really sing. So I thought, well, I can do that too.
So were you competitive with each other, you and your brother?
No, not at all. I mean, the only time it was uncomfortable is sometimes at Thanksgiving or Christmas or whenever the whole family would get together, everyone would be doting over Vance. Everybody would be talking about Vance and how proud they were of Vance. And, you know, and I was, at the time, I had a different profession every week. I painted houses for a while. I was a waitress. I was a bartender. I shucked oysters. I sold vacuum cleaners. I was an employment counselor. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. So no one really, it was almost a sore subject. Let's not ask Ellen what she does. You know, and nobody talked to me. I was at the card table all by myself, you know, and everybody is going on and on about Vance. So that was the only uncomfortable time that I wanted somebody to talk about me and be proud of me, of what I was doing.
Ellen DeGeneres is my guest, and she has a new book. Now, who taught you the facts of life?
Nobody. That's why I try in my book to teach you how to explain sex to your child, because nobody taught me. And as you read in my book, I still don't know how to teach anybody. It's just sort of a kind of spirals out of control. But nobody did. I think I remember hearing girls talk about it in a bathroom. And it was kind of late. I was a late bloomer for everything. I was in seventh grade when I heard about it for the first time, what happens.
How'd you hear about it?
In the bathroom. I heard girls, you know, talking about it. And
did you believe it?
Well, I asked my mother how long it has to stay in. She was shocked by that question. I mean, it was to me. It the way it was described, it sounded like, you know, going to a gas station and putting the pump into the gas tank, and just leave it there until the tank is full, and then you remove it and you pay the cashier. that's exactly what I pictured. I really just thought, well, wow, that's a shame that has to happen. And so no one really, I mean, I remember asking my mother that question, like, how long does it have to stay in? And I think she said, not very long. And then that was it. That was our whole discussion of the mother-daughter talk.
Well, you not only have a best-selling book now, but you're opening in a new film soon called Mr. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us something about your character and the storyline.
The character's name is Martha Alston. And she is sort of, it's hard to say because I haven't seen a rough cut of the movie yet, and it depends on how they put it together. But basically what the story was is she has, like most women, been brought up to believe in fairy tales. She's reading Snow White, and it's all about someday my prince will come. And she meets who she thinks is the guy that she has been wanting to meet, you know, all her life. And Bill Pullman plays this character. And it turns out that he is not what he appears at all, and just is a huge goon, just embarrassing and says inappropriate things and does inappropriate things and just an idiot. And she tries, you know, after she slept with this guy and after she's fallen so hard, to back out of this and get away from him. And he does not get it. He just will not let her go. And
This is a comedy, right?
Yeah, it's a comedy, but it's sort of dark. It's mm-hmm. It was a lot darker before when I just read the script. It was a lot darker. It got a little lighter. But it's really it's hysterical, and it's something that I think everybody can relate to, and it's going to be the feel good movie of the year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You had said you know it's going to depend on how the film is edited. I had actually read that they weren't sure whether they were going to edit in a happy ending or an unhappy ending.
Well, it's not that there's an unhappy. I mean, to me, there are two different endings. And one, she ends up with someone else. I won't say who because I don't want to give the story away. But one where she ends up alone and going off into the sunset, and one where she ends up with someone else. And it's not necessarily romantically connected with someone else, but just with someone else. And I strongly am fighting for that she ends up alone, that's the whole message of the movie. And so I was telling the studio, I think that she should end up alone. and they're going to test it. They always test it with audiences, and if they test it and if the audiences want her to end up with someone else, that's what it will be.
Well, Ellen DeGeneres, thank you very much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Terry.
Ellen DeGeneres has a new book called My Point, and I do have one. Her sitcom, Ellen, starts its new season tonight. This is Fresh Air.